Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. The parade is over, snow's on the ground, spring training is 3 long months away, but come on, let's have one more moment with those very hot Red Sox.
Two on, two out. There's the breaking ball, high fly ball, deep down the left field line, way back and gone!
Mookie Betts belted that home run against the New York Yankees in late September before the Sox romped through the postseason and won the World Series. Yesterday, Mookie Betts, who hit 32 home runs and stole 30 bases, was named MVP of the American League. And here to talk about this is WBUR's sports and society reporter, Shira Springer. Hey, Shira, thanks for coming in.
Hey, Anthony.
So this is almost not surprising, right? I mean, remind us why Betts won.
Almost not surprising. Not right. Surprising at all when not you go down the list of, you know, just amazing statistics that Mookie Betts amassed.
So remind us a little
bit. Absolutely. 346 average, 640 slugging percentage. As you said, 32 homers, stole 30 bases, posted a 438 OBP.
Not only, on base percentage.
Yes, right. On base percentage. Right. Not only that, he led the major leagues in batting average and slugging percentage and was the first Red Sox player to do that since Ted Williams, second player in Red Sox history to hit 30 homers and steal 30 bases in the same year, first 30-30 player in big league history to win a batting title. I can go on. I will a little bit more. First American League player to win the MVP award, the Gold Glove, Silver Slugger awards in the same year that he won the World Series. And to cap it all off, there was a nice little Twitter argument between MLB and the Red Sox staff. And basically, MLB said, what didn't Mookie Betts do on the diamond this year? And the Red Sox tweeted, he didn't get thrown out at home. So, right. You know, there you go.
All right. Well, so that's a pretty good record to win MVP on. Let's hear a little bit of tape from Mookie Betts reacting to all this.
Definitely a special award and something that I cherish. But I think the most important thing is that, you know, we won a World Series.
And Shira, I think this is the piece of tape that I like the best from the entire Red Sox season. It comes from manager Alex Cora talking about Betts. It's very, very brief, so you have to pay attention. But here he is.
When Mookie's smiling, good things are happening.
When Mookie's smiling, good things are happening. Kind of sounds like life philosophy.
Yes, and also if you hang around Mookie Betts even a little bit, I don't think there's a time where he's ever not smiling. I mean, he's smiling when he talks to the media. He's smiling at the plate. He's all the time. This is a man who smiles a lot. So a lot of good things happening.
Yeah. So what about J.D. Martinez? Some folks argue he might have had an even bigger impact on the team. He was a slugger as well. And he supposedly did lots to help his fellow teammates with hitting, including Betts. I mean, so is it fair to discount him because, what, he wasn't an everyday player in the field. He was a designated hitter.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned that he did a lot to help his teammates, including Betts. I mean, he was a big person for doing the video before games and videoing all of his batting practice. And that was something, a habit that really translated to a lot of his teammates, including Betts, and something Betts credited with helping him improve as a hitter. So there's, you know, there's the influence that you see in the statistics, like you have these gaudy statistics with Betts, and you also have gaudy statistics with J.D. Martinez. But there's also, I think, a finer point in sort of the influence of that, you know, particular players on their teammates and to elevate the team. And there's those chemistry players. They talk about glue guys in Major League Baseball as well. So the question is it unfair to discount or is it fair, rather, to discount J.D. Martinez because he's a designated hitter? Listen, I don't think it's fair to discount him, but I think that's the reality, right?
Yeah.
Voters are going to discount him because he is a designated hitter. There is a feeling that the player who wins the MVP award should be at the plate and in the field for the majority of his team's games, you know, that he should be a complete player, that he should be a versatile player. And always, always, always the fact that, you know, if you're a designated hitter, that gets counted against you, no matter how much you influence your teammates, how much you improve their play, and how much, you know, you are value added on and off the field.
So Betts is MVP. He beat out Los Angeles center fielder Mike Trout, who Betts lost to 2 years ago. This year, Trout came in second. So What differentiates the 2018 version of Mookie from the 2016 version?
I mean, the guy's 26, so it's a little bit strange to say he's older and wiser.
But
he's older and wiser, exactly.
Right.
And I think more importantly, he simply put up numbers that voters couldn't ignore. I mean, listen, he was the overwhelming choice for MVP. This wasn't even close. He got 28 of 30 first place votes. And I also think the Red Sox success this season helps, too, because you talk about Mike Trout. Well, the Angels were, I believe they were 80 and 82. They had a sub 500 record. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that not only was Betts having a historic season, but the Red Sox were also having an historic season with a franchise record, 108 wins. That makes a huge difference. I'm somebody who voted for the NBA MVP when I was covering the Celtics. And I know when it came down to sort of tiebreakers and decisions you had to make about that, I always, you know, team record played a role. It wasn't the deciding factor, but it certainly played a role. So I think you have to calculate that in as well.
So Mookie Betts, you know, watching him play in the outfield, all these things that he did as a hitter from behind the plate, he's sort of this combination athlete, some sort of combined Superman and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And when you talk about him being only 26, imagining where does he go next season? How does he get better? How does he improve? What's Mookie Betts' future?
What do you want him to do? I mean, what more? He does everything. He
leap
hits,
buildings
he hits
in
for
a single bound.
I mean, he hits for power. He steals bases. He makes these unbelievable throws, you know, from the outfield that you kind of have to see to believe. These unbelievable catches. I think, you know, if you hear him talk, consistency. He wants to be an even more consistent player, and then defense. You know, he wants to improve his defense, which is, I think, a frightening thought for everybody else in the major leagues.
All right, we're sort of running out of time. I want to talk to you about Alex Cora and the American League's best manager, which, of course, here in Boston would
Rob.
Be Alex
he was
Cora.
Robbed.
He was robbed because he lost out to Bob Melvin of the Oakland A's. What went down in that decision?
Yeah, listen, let's give some credit here to Melvin. He led Oakland to 97 wins and an AL wild card spot, and he did it with a team that had an opening day payroll of $66 million. As we all know in these parts, the Red Sox had the highest opening day payroll at $223 million. I think that factors into voters' minds. You know, they say, listen, not only did Cora have the players, but he had the payroll to work with. Mm-hmm. And there is some sympathy there for managers who are able to do more than what is expected with the players and the payroll that they have. And, you know, you talk about being a designated hitter, working against J.D. Martinez. I think the fact that Alex Cora had such a high payroll worked against him in the voting process. I also think the fact that he was a first-year manager, oddly enough, worked against him, because there is this part of baseball that you have to be patient and pay your dues. And I think that is somehow expressed also with the manager of the year voting.
All right. Well, we're out of time, but I'm just going to say he was robbed.
He was robbed. There is no dispute there. He was absolutely 100% robbed.
WBUR Sports and Society reporter Shira Springer. Thanks, Shira. Have a great weekend.
You too.
And that's it for today, Radio Boston, and for this week. Our program is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Have a great weekend, and join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.